cradio.org.au.
Mark Kovikiolo is a husband and father of three in the Diocese of Cairns in Australia. He's also a candidate for the permanent diaconate. Listen as Mark shares the story of how he and his wife returned to the faith.
Well, I was born in 1968 in Canberra, went to Catholic schools. I finished Year 12 in 1985, and basically that sort of ended my relationship with the church. While at school, I went to Mass and we did confession. But after that, I just sort of walked away and didn't pray, didn't go to Mass or have confession. In our home, we were practicing Catholics. We never prayed. I don't recall praying. We didn't go to Mass as a family. So it was just something I did at school. Then went to university at the ANU. And my attention was basically focused on having a good time. And it was basically all about me and my comfortable lifestyle. So that was sort of the way I lived my life. Then when I finished university, I got a job in Cairns in 1993. So I moved to Cairns, which was quite a shock, which was a sort of a personal exodus, I suppose, that I needed to do. I didn't know anybody here, no family or friends. And looking back on it, I can sort of see how God had to get me out of Canberra and get out of that self-indulgent, hedonistic lifestyle. So I came to Cairns and started my career, trying to work out who I am. I was quite lonely and fairly isolated. I met my wife, my lovely wife, Kate. She's from Tasmania. We got married in 1997, and she was the more spiritual of the pair of us. And very occasionally we'd go to Mass, perhaps 5 to 6 times a year, but I certainly still didn't have any sort of prayer life or read the Bible, and my attitude was, well, what do I need God for? He's an irrelevance to me. Then things gradually sort of changed. There was a guy at work by the name of Jeff, a lovely Baptist fellow, who sort of took me under his wing. And I could also sort of look back at the example of my mother-in-law, who was a great witness, and I'm sure she was praying for us at the time. She was very active in St. Vincent de Paul and just set a really good example of what being a Christian is all about. She was a very giving person, but always putting herself last. So I had these sort of witnesses in my life, and Jeff and I would have regular coffees. Jeff and I would have conversations about God, and I sort of started reading the Bible a little bit and praying a little bit. And one key thing was he gave me a book by an author called John Eldridge called Wild at Heart, which was a bit of a game changer for me. I just absolutely loved that book and what he was talking about, spiritual warfare and what true masculinity is all about. And I absolutely loved it. So I started to pray more, and this notion of, you know, spiritual warfare and being a warrior was something that really, really appealed to me. But I was still leading a fairly sinful life, still not attending Mass, really. Then in 2006, something happened. I had a really big meeting at work that I had to go to and speak to a big group of people. And I was really, really nervous about it and really just really worried about what I was going to say and how I was going to say it, and quite desperate. And before the meeting, I found a quiet space and said a desperate prayer to God, asking him to help me. And I heard an audible voice that said, "You are a warrior." And that just... Well, I just went, wow, that's, God is real. He's with me. So I went out and said my talk after that. I just blitzed it. I was full of the Holy Spirit. And that was the first example of, I guess, where God sort of directly spoke to me. Then in 2007, my wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And at this stage, we had 3 young children. We were a long way from family. My wife, because of the pain she was in, took a lot of, took several drugs, OxyContin, benzodiazepine, and Paladin 4. She was in a lot of pain. And so because of that, she had to spend quite a lot of time. She worked full time, but trying to manage the pain was very difficult for her. And we were just sort of limping along, I suppose, trying to keep it all together, both working full time and raising three children. So not really progressing very much, I suppose, spiritually, and just finding life quite difficult. Then in 2008, I think God finally got sick of me and had to intervene. And it was on our 11th wedding anniversary. I was driving home and was involved in a road rage incident where with another driver, a drunk driver, chased me home and threatened to beat me up and kill me. And I was just terrified. And not only that, I was just devastated. I felt really isolated and just totally gutted. And perhaps what you might call the dark night of the soul. It was a really difficult night, very painful. And I just realized that I can't live my life without God. I really can't do this on my own. I need God in my life. And at the same time, I had this utter conviction that I had to go to Mass. I just had to go to Mass. And I don't know where that came from, but that was what I realized I needed to do. So I did. So I started going to Mass with the three children. And that was that I met a deacon for the first time, a guy called Deacon Matt Ransom, who's now a good friend of mine. He used to preside at Mass quite frequently. I started receiving the Eucharist, even though I hadn't realised I needed confession. I didn't know enough about my faith. So I just sort of proceeded along that way, making sure I attended Mass. It was the highlight of the week for me. Then the next year, 2009, was when it all happened. My wife, at the beginning of 2009, decided that she needed to stop taking the painkillers she was on, and she decided to just stop cold turkey without gradually sort of paring it back, which you're not supposed to do. It's quite dangerous, but she did that, and that led to quite serious sort of side effects. She had a lot of trouble sleeping. She was very sick and really in a bad way as a result of just stopping taking the pain medication. And one day in early 2009, she prayed, desperate for God to help. And I was in the house that day, but not in the same room. But after this event happened, she came in to see me, and I knew that something dramatic had happened. And she said she was praying, asking God to help, and the room became full of light. But she said it wasn't any ordinary sort of light. It was a bright light inside the room, and it was raining light. So she felt this sort of sensation of rain, but raining light. And this overwhelming feeling of love. So things changed dramatically that year. She still found it very difficult to, to physically the symptoms of withdrawing from taking the painkilling medication was still there. It was a very, very difficult journey for her. But with that experience, she received that consolation and received other consolations later that year. So things changed dramatically that year, we really took off spiritually. And at the time, we got Christian TV at home and started watching EWTN. The principal of the school where we used to go to Mass gave my wife some rosary beads that were blessed by the Pope at World Youth Day in Sydney, and we started praying the rosary. I couldn't even remember how to say Hail Mary, so I had to learn how to say Hail Mary again. And things just changed. We really felt Mary's presence and strength with us. And we started praying the rosary. And then on EWTN, this station that we were watching, there were coincidentally some really good shows about the Eucharist and about the rosary. And so we learned more and understood more about what the Eucharist was, all about the Eucharist, and which became really important. We developed a love and appreciation for it. There was also a NET team at the school, and we got to know them. I had no idea what NET was, and up until that point. So we got to know the NET team, and they used to pray with us. My wife used to go weekly to the charismatic group, and they would pray for her every week and help her through that year. So it was an amazing year where we grew in our faith, and we read a lot and learnt, and really fell in love. Fell in love with our faith. We both went to confession in 2009. Went to confession for the first time in, I'd say, 25 years, which was an amazing experience. So we just, we learned a lot about our faith and really grew to love what it was all about.
And you speak about this dramatic experience of conversion. Suddenly your wife's experience sounds like quite a beautiful and powerful one. And you said in that verse, basically you were on fire. You had that experience of that powerful conversion. You're on fire and really into the faith. And then we find as time goes on, it's sort of that roaring fire sort of, I suppose, dwindles might be the word, I don't know, into sort of like a flickering flame. And it's just... sometimes it you can think back and be like, oh, like that's a distant memory, or was that real? Or what are the practical things that help you, I suppose?
Yeah, I think learning about the faith, getting to know it. For me, I'm a real head person, so I've got a background in science. So for me, it's been very important just to, if I had questions, to go looking for them and looking for the answers. And so I found that very helpful, just learning more and not being ignorant about the faith, because the answers are there. I've really become a firm believer in Jesus' statement, seek and you shall find. One of the things that's really strengthened me is whenever I've had a doubt and I've gone looking for an answer, it might be the scientific reasons for the existence of God, or the scientific clues towards God, I've found answers, and I've found really strong answers, and which have strengthened my faith. So I think if you're willing to seek, you will find answers. And for me, the experience has been one of really strengthening my faith. Whenever someone's challenged me about my faith, if I didn't know the answer, I'd go looking for one, and I'd find it. So I think, taking an interest, obviously having a daily prayer life is really important. You have to stay connected with God. You have to, and for me, maintaining that personal relationship with Jesus through prayer has been really important. And reading the Bible, obviously, as well. Try to read the Bible every day. I have a set prayer time first thing in the morning when nobody else is up, and I'll pray the rosary or a couple of decades of the rosary, say a morning offering, and then read the daily mass readings for the day. And I think if you can do that, God will be at work with you. He will strengthen you and give you some guidance for the day ahead or the week ahead. So I think it's very important to sort of stay connected and obviously receive the sacraments. So those are the practical ways of doing it. And I think also trying to trust God has been one lesson over and over I've learnt, that where I've had issues that have come up, concerns that have come up. It's a difficult thing to do, but placing your trust in God, that whatever happens, it's His will. That's been a key learning for me. Time and time again, He's shown me that if you're trusting Him, you know, he may not necessarily take away a difficult situation, but it ultimately, in the end, it will be for your own good.
And I know that's definitely something that all of us have to work through, especially in family life in Australia today, and all the challenges and obstacles that come up with that, worries like mortgages.
Oh well, that's exactly right. There's always worries. There's always something, and it's very easy to take it on yourself and fret about it and lie awake at night about it. It's just human, you know. It's just human nature. I still do that at times, but I've also learned, you know, that you can surrender it to God, and you should try and surrender it to God. And if you're in pain, that somehow God will do something with that. My wife's pain and suffering, she offers that up to God. She still does. And knowing that God won't take away the pain necessarily, but he'll do something with it. So that, you know, that's something we Catholics have, that's, you know, where even pain and suffering can be of some value in the end. God can mysteriously do something with that. So, those are a few things. I think you have to be willing to say yes. You have to be willing to seek God, and God will move towards you. It's like gravity. It's like some sort of law. I see it as a kind of a law of attraction. If you take one step towards God, he'll take a step towards you. But I sometimes say this, it's the easiest thing in the world and it's the hardest thing in the world at the same time. If you take that first step, God will step towards you. But it can be the hardest thing in the world if you're not willing to do that. So I'm just amazed that God's given me the grace to want to do that. But there's a lot of people who don't. God's just not relevant to them. And I guess that's what I was like. So, you know, one of the things I'm sort of keen on is to talk about the faith and try and make God relevant in everyday life, in the ordinariness of life, particularly in workplaces, where there's really not, you're really quite constrained in what you can say. But you can live out a good witness. You can be a witness. And if people ask me a question about my faith, you know, then I'll answer it. So that's sort of what I try and do, at least in the workplace. One thing I noticed when I sort of came back to Mass is the lack of men. And I was sort of quite shocked at, well, where are all the men? Where are all the young people? So I started to get a bit of a passion to try and somehow contribute to addressing that. I'm not too sure how I would, but now I'm on the road to becoming a deacon, so perhaps in some way there's a ministry there.
So tell me about that. First of all, for those who don't know, could you explain the role of the permanent deacon and how you discovered your calling to pursue that? You're currently undertaking studies for the diaconate.
Yeah, that's right. I think the role, there's sort of three things. There's assisting, there's preaching the word, there's carrying out some sort of pastoral ministry, and there's assisting at Mass and assisting in the sacraments. And there are several deacons here in the Cairns Diocese, and every one of them has a different ministry. So the calling, it really depends on your state in life and particular circumstances as to what you would, you know, what you would do. And my calling, I suppose, began towards the end of 2010-2011, when my wife sort of suggested that I could, you know, have you considered being a deacon, because our friend Deacon Matt Ransom was sort of, you know, was living in Cairns at the time, and you know, we sort of saw his witness, and I just kind of immediately dismissed it, thinking, no, that's not for me. I could never do anything like that. Mistakenly thinking that I would be like Deacon Matt and I'd be a cookie cutter version of what he does. But yeah, you know, he's a teacher. He's got a quite different background to me. So over time, in 2011, I sort of gradually realised, well, perhaps God is calling me to this, and perhaps I can do something. And it just sort of gradually occurred to me that, yeah, maybe this is something I could do, and I don't have to be like Deacon Matt. I would be doing something else. So the feeling just grew stronger and stronger, and in the end, I just couldn't ignore it. And so I applied, and I got accepted into the program, and so commenced in 2012, and just finished our academic studies. There's four of us here in Cairns going through the diaconate program, and now we're getting on to doing intensives, such as learning how to prepare and deliver homilies. And next year we're doing a short philosophy course. So we're, coming towards the end of it. And in 2016, if we make it through, there'll be four permanent deacons in Cairns, and we'll all be doing different things. One guy, Frank, he's already doing deacon work, in my opinion. He does prison ministry and works for the Catholic Diocese part-time. Another guy, Tony, runs a cafe. The third fellow, Mick, is a assistant to the principal of religious education at a Catholic school. And I'm a state government public servant, so we've all got different backgrounds and different gifts. And I think we're all still on the path of discerning, you know, what we'll do at the end in consultation with the bishop. For myself, I have a passion for talking about the faith. I really love learning about it and talking about it. My spiritual director has sort of pointed out perhaps, you know, you could, you know, help run RCIA or some other sort of adult education side of things. So there's that. I mentioned the men's ministry in some way, and also youth ministry. Not that I have a particular talent for it, but I can, just pragmatically, I can see that where I sort of walked away from the faith was when I finished school and stopped going to Mass. And I think that any young person who has the gift of faith has really received special graces, so I'd like somehow to make sure that when my kids grow up, that there is some sort of youth ministry there where they can mingle with like-minded Catholics. So I could see a real need there, but I'm not too sure what I would do in that space.
Well, no doubt God will reveal his plans as you continue to walk. So we'll make sure to keep that in our prayers for you and your family and the other men preparing for the diaconate in Cairns, and I suppose for renewal in that diocese.
Thank you very much. I think God is up to something here. We're all sort of getting excited and looking forward to ordination, and I'm sure God's got some amazing plans for us up here.
Well, make sure to keep us posted, and thank you so much for your time today.
No worries. Thank you very much, Sarah. It's been a real honour talking to you.
That was Mark Cavicchiolo, a candidate for the permanent diaconate in the Diocese of Cairns, sharing about his journey back to the faith. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au. radio.org.au